Let's face it, sometimes being an adult isn't as much fun as being a kid. We let ourselves get worried and serious, stressed out, and content to live life without rocking the boat. If this sounds like you, you may have a serious case of adultitis. Hi, I'm Veronica Rickert, keeping you company today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today, we'll find out what adultitis is and how to cure it. With our guests this hour, Kim and Jason Kotecki, they're the authors of Escape Adulthood and The Escape Plan, a 40-day plan to annihilate the adultitis in your life. Their website is kimandjason.com. Well, what about you? Are you looking for a way to regain your childlike spirit or for more simple ways to put fun and passion back into your life? And do you have some ideas that work for you? Well, you can share your story at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Kim and Jason are here with me in studio. Kim and Jason Kotecki, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Veronica.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I really had a lot of fun reading your book yesterday. It was a great reminder to have fun. I think I'm someone who doesn't have an advanced case of adultitis, but everyone gets sucked down into the quicksand once in a while. I'm guessing you guys don't need too many reminders anymore.
Well, when it's your job full time, it kind of goes with the territory. So we do pretty good, but it's always nice to be able to remind people not to take themselves too seriously. It's a good job to have.
And it's fun to be an example. So it gives us a good excuse to go out and blow bubbles or, you know.
Do fun stuff.
Yeah, go for a walk and just kind of get the stress out of our reality. So it's fun.
It's your business too, though. Did the two ever get tangled up and you have to remind yourself, this is supposed to be fun, darn it?
Yeah, absolutely. We always have to remind ourselves to have balance. And so even though our job is a lot of fun and we really enjoy it, you still need to take some time out to just do other stuff and just go for walks or do whatever. So, but the nice thing is it doesn't require a lot of stress relief to get away from our job. So it works out pretty good.
And it's nice living in Madison because there's just so many wonderful things to do. So we actually have plenty of options.
Yep.
Well, you've coined this term adultitis. Tell us what that is.
Well, I guess I'll give you the official definition if I could. Adultitis is a common condition occurring in people between ages of 21 and 121, marked by chronic dullness, mild depression, super high stress levels, a general fear of change, and in some extreme cases, the inability to smile. Onset can be accelerated by an excess burden of bills, responsibilities, and a boring work life. Generally, patients with this condition are not fun to be around.
So maybe that's the biggest hallmark right
yes,
there.
Yes, that's what I...
Not having fun, not fun to be around.
Right, that's the definition I give in our program. So it's the official medical definition of adultitis.
You guys have a quiz on your website, right, where you can kind of test to see whether or not you got adultitis. I took the quiz, and you tell me my diagnosis wasn't so severe. I'm a type, what do you call it?
Stage one
adultitis, so it's kind of mild. How high do the stages go?
Yeah, there's stage one, stage two, full-blown adultitis.
Yeah. And then, of course, negative.
Yes, yeah. Which is very few. And, you know, in our programs, whether we're working with teachers or corporations or whatever, we oftentimes will have them take the quiz. And usually there's about maybe in a group of 300, maybe one person who's negative. So they have no adultitis whatsoever. So
nice.
Kind of gives you an idea. And usually there's about one or two with full-blown.
Yeah.
That's
that
usually the director of the, of the whole thing. And the most responsibility.
Well, it's a fun topic, but on the other hand, it's serious because we're talking essentially about something which is a lot of people are thinking about now is happiness.
Right.
And somehow, you know, it can be that being an adult and being happy can be a bit of a paradox here. And you actually work with people who really do need, you know, to really change things around, to get back on some good footing in their life and to start enjoying life. Tell us about some of the people that you've worked with. Tell us one or two of their stories.
Well, one of the things, you know, you talk about happiness, and I guess the other side of that coin is stress, which is the kind of the negative side. But we were in Colorado for a speaking engagement about a year ago, and afterwards we got a really neat email from a mom who was in the audience, and her husband really enjoyed the talk, and they had some young kids, and they were I think at the babysitters, but they were in the middle of trying to start up this business. Between the husband and the wife, we're trying to start this business. And one of the things that happened through the course of the talk is they decided, you know what, we don't want to miss out on our kids growing up. And it was just a really cool email. They said, you know, we still have this dream and we're going to put it off till when they get in school, but we want to devote the time to the kids. And to me, that was really cool because I know Kim can attest, being a former kindergarten teacher, we really try to, our focus is adults, but we really want to try to help kids have better childhoods too. And one thing she realized as a kindergarten teacher is sometimes the best way to affect kids is through their parents.
Yeah, that was probably one of the common denominators that I found amongst families was busyness. And it really frustrated me because I taught for 5 years. And after about 3 or 4 years, I realized, you know what, I'm only making a sliver of a difference here because the rest of it is all, I mean, most of it is the parents and most of it is the lifestyle that these kids are leading. And usually it's overscheduled. And so it's like, you know, and so that kind of called me to, I have to address the parents and then that will help the kids. So that was kind of the way I looked at it.
Do you think people choose to be overscheduled? I know sometimes it's almost like a status symbol to say, oh, I'm terribly busy. Let me flip through my calendar. But on the other hand, no one's really that happy when they're overscheduled. Where's it coming from and what can we do about it?
I don't, you know, it is funny because if you ever notice, like when you see someone meet at a restaurant, maybe they haven't seen each other and they say, hey, how's things going? And the person says, oh, really good, busy, busy. As if busy is the hallmark for how good things are, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's part of it is we have all of these societal pressures to have everything together. And so there's a lot of pressure to make sure that the house is in order and that we have a good job and that we have great kids and that they're getting good grades and they're involved in all these activities and we have a nice house and all this stuff. And it's like, frankly, fairly unrealistic to be able to accomplish it all. And so we run around like chickens with our heads cut off and keep the, you know, the facade that we have it all together and that we're busy and we're doing all this stuff. But I think that's what it is a facade. And people, what we try to tell people is that, you know, sometimes you just need to let certain things go. You have to decide what's the priority for you and let the other things go. And it doesn't matter what your mom says or what your neighbor says or what the guy on TV says. If this is what your focus is, just like those people I was talking about in Colorado, building a business is great, but they said we want to put our family first and put that off for now. And that was a great choice.
That really resonates with me. You know, when my son was born, all of a sudden, I guess we're about maybe a year into it, I started to freak out about the house, that it was never clean. And, you know, there was a lot of strife in my family. I wrote detailed, intricate, Baroque chore charts that I would post, which never got worked out. And finally, I realized, you know, they were never going to improve and clean everything up, that it would just have to be me who would have to learn to deal with the messy house and that was okay, that people were more important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was a huge happiness factor. But I think most of us, you know, we still want to have like the clean house and the soccer lessons and to have everything be perfect. But I guess it just doesn't work that way.
Well, and I think it's, again, we see some of those images on TV or whatever. And I don't know that anyone really has all of those things. But the appearances that people do. And so we're afraid to kind of let something slide for fear that the secret will be out and we don't have it all together, you know. But I think it's an impossible game to try to be perfect at everything, and that's where a lot of our stress and unhappiness comes from.
Do you have any other stories you want to share?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we met this guy a few months ago. We did this thing called the Escape Event, and we kind of put a challenge out there to help people think and act in a more childlike way and kind of get them out of their boxes a little bit. And so we had challenged them to do something childlike in the kitchen,
right.
I believe.
It's called Kitchen Entertainment, I believe the name of the challenge
was.
Yes.
So the idea was to try something fun in the kitchen, you know, because oftentimes the kitchen becomes that place where it's like, oh, what am I going to make tonight? And, you know, you're just rushing through and eating around the microwave and everything. Well, this specific guy, Jim Peters, and he was also from Colorado, ironically, probably about 55 years old, working, you know, busy lifestyle, had admitted after he shared his story with us that the best thing that he did in the kitchen.
So the only thing he made in the kitchen was reservations. So he's not very experienced in there.
But. His wife took care of all that. But so he's like, you know what? I'm going to be childlike. I'm going to make something, you know? And he thought back to his childhood and one of his favorite things was Rice Krispie Treats. And he had never made Rice Krispie Treats ever. And he said, I'm just going to try to make Rice Krispie Treats. So he got a recipe and it was right around Easter time. And so he ended up molding the Rice Krispies into an Easter Easter bunny.
It's very amazing. Jelly so beans for the eyes, and the little ear had a little twist to it.
Wow. I took all these pictures and described the experience. But the lesson that I took from it was, you know, just Jason and I are really in the permission business. And could he have made Rice Krispie treats the week before we asked this challenge? Yes. But he needed the challenge. You know, he needed to be given permission to have some fun. And so that's been kind of a neat thing for us to learn, that people just need to be told it's okay to just let things go, or, you know, leave the laundry for another night and go play. And life will be so much more fun if you do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one sort of rule of thumb, which sort of sounds what you're talking about here, is if you get to the end of your life, are you going to regret not doing the laundry on time, or are you going to regret not hanging out with your family and making Rice Krispie treats?
Right. You never hear someone on their deathbed just, you know, oh, man, I wish I would have spent more time at the office. You know, never in the history of the world has that ever happened. So, but yet we live like... work is the most important thing. And I have to say, we're not about shirking your responsibilities or not working or anything like that. It's just more of putting it in perspective, mm-hmm. and having the perspective to see what's really the most important thing.
Well, one of the challenges on your website that I liked was to do something that is considered inappropriate for your age. That's a pretty freeing one. What did you two do?
What did we do? I'm going to have to cheat here.
Kim built a blanket fort.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, and that was, I think, the winner is, you know, we work out of our, at that point, we were working out of our home. We have an office now, but it was, you know, how you get in those winter blues, especially about January, February, and you're like, oh, I just need to mix things up. So I totally took I think I took a sheet and tacked it up on the walls, like total, you know, 5-year-old style, and worked from under this tent for the day, making my calls and working on my computer. And it was
the
really
benefits of working
fun.
At home, for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, what would happen if you put the sheet over your cube? I don't know. Like, I mean,
well,
some things aren't realistic, but you got to bring it to where your life is, you know.
The thing I ended up doing was went to McDonald's. And when we were little kids, we always begged my parents for Happy Meals. And we'd get them once in a while, but it was usually cheaper for my family just to buy burgers and fries and split them up. So I went and ordered a Happy Meal. And it had been probably 20 years. And we don't have kids yet, so I hadn't bought a Happy Meal. But it was... there's just like this giddy feeling when I brought it and there's a little toy inside. It felt like kind of a nerd, but it was also just... kind of like, why not? Why can't you just buy a Happy Meal once in a while, you know?
Did you get funny looks?
I don't remember. It could have been, you know, they may have thought, oh, he's probably bringing it back to his kid or something like that. So I didn't announce that it was this.
You got a free pass.
But it was when the Chronicles of Narnia first came out, and I think I got a little Aslan action figure. So I was,
very cool.
Pretty happy about that. Yeah.
It's still up by his desk.
Yeah.
So.
Which is another one of your challenges, to take something something that's for kids or something and put it in your workspace.
Something childlike.
Yeah, something childlike.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we just rearranged our offices, and Jason and I were joking about near Jason's desk is about 2 full shelves full of little, you know, kind of like the McDonald's type treats.
Little toys,
Star Wars guys, and I don't even know what all it is. Baseball
players. They're attracted
players.
To me, though. We see them in the parking lot of our apartment. I don't know, they're just abandoned by kids. And I just
wash them off and put them on.
A football player.
They call out to you.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but there's quite a few of them.
But that's a good example of something, again, to bring that permission business. We're back into the permission business of, you know, look at your workspace. Is it playful? Is it fun? Does it encourage, you know, playfulness, curiosity, childlike wonder, and whether that's just from, you know, putting a picture of yourself as a child, you know, in your cube, or a picture of your family, or, you know, a toy, or some fun, playful thing, a lava lamp, you know, something that just kind of takes the seriousness out of it.
And another one I really like is, and this is a little more serious than the ones we've been talking about, but to give yourself permission to dream big. Mm. And that's important for a lot of adults. And you talk about, Jason, seeing people in jobs, and they're miserable in the jobs, and they just keep going back, and they don't give themselves permission to say, I don't have to do this with my life.
Yeah.
Tell us about some steps we can take to allow ourselves to dream big or to achieve those big dreams.
Well, I think it's important to... It takes some courage, but some people don't even consider the alternative. I think it's interesting, as we graduated college, which was many years ago now, it seems like. But a lot of our peers immediately went into the typical 9-to-5 job, and some of them really liked their jobs, but some of them just kind of went into it because they thought, like, well, I'll major in business. That seems like the safe thing to do. And it's amazing. We see people that are not happy with where they're at, and I think it's because they've given up on their dream. And it might have been because they had parents who said, that's not realistic, go into something else. Or maybe they felt like they didn't have what it took to go into something. And so I think it's just a matter of realizing we don't have a long time to live. And what is it you want to spend your days doing? And any excuse that you could possibly have has probably been proven wrong by somewhere along the line, whether it's, you know, your race or your gender or your age. I mean, Colonel Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken when we was getting Social Security checks. So it's just a matter of, I think, deciding what you want to do with your life, what you're really passionate about, what you're excited about. And then the other big tip I have is it's easy to get overwhelmed by the whole big journey. And the trick is to just make the first obvious common sense step. And not get overwhelmed by, oh, I'll never be to that stage. Because that's 1,000 steps away. Just take one step at a time, and just like eating an elephant, one bite at a time. That's the trick.
And you have 11 tips for dreaming big, and some of those were the ones you just talked about. You also have that you should read biographies of people mm-hmm. who lead the kinds of lives that you want to lead and that inspire you. Mm-hmm. And you may be surprised, you say, that they had bigger obstacles to overcome than you. And that sounds like a really good one. I also like to just write down on paper what you want for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you say there is magic in writing things down.
There really is. Go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the other tricks with that, I'm a very visual learner. So what we've learned from books, and of course, you know, if you're familiar with The Secret, that's a big one. Talk about the law of attraction, is these dream boards. And we can attest that that has been very powerful in our life. Trying to find pictures of things that we vision for our life, whether it's activity or something we want to earn or, you know, work towards, and putting them up in a place that you see them every day. And oftentimes you're not even really noticing them, but your subconscious is noticing them and it comes to you. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of a...
Can you give us an example?
Yeah. When I stopped teaching and we first started traveling the country doing these speaking programs, Jason and I wrote down on a piece of paper, and then we got on the internet and found pictures of all of these different places we wanted to go. So we wanted to go to Seattle and San Francisco and New York and, you know, all these places. And we took pictures and we put them on a bulletin board. By the end of that first season or mm-hmm. year, we had gone to all of them.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So that was just kind of a neat thing that kind of affirmed to us that this kind of works, you know. We put a picture up of us parasailing and a picture of the Grand Canyon, and those are two things that we've been able to do in the last 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, and it's kind of neat because it kind of puts it in your mind. So if you have an opportunity to do that, then you're like, oh, we were in Florida and they had parasailing, we're like, you know what, we got to do this. And
yeah.
So you kind of just go after things because, you know, this is on my life list. I don't know why I'm waiting, because who knows how long we have, you know?
Yeah. Well, and when we went to Florida last year and did the parasailing, we decided we should go for it. I mean, it was a little bit more than the money we had, you know, and that's one of the things we talk about, is splurging once in a while, going within a budget, but, you know, not being so rigid all the time. And we thought, you know, we might not be back here again, or we might have kids. And so we went for it. And lo and behold, Kim's, you know, 5 months pregnant now. And,
oh, congratulations.
And so the chances of us going parasailing with a newborn is probably very unlikely for a couple years. So
yeah,
I'm
timing.
Glad that we really took the time to do that.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing those stories. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now and then come back and talk more with Kim and Jason Kotecki. They're the authors of Escape Adult and the Escape Plan, a 40-day plan to annihilate the adultitis in your life. Well, we'd love to hear from you this morning, and tell us if you're looking to find a way to regain your childlike spirit and to put more fun and passion back in your life. Maybe you'd like a tip from Kim and Jason, or maybe you've got one to share with the rest of us. You can call this morning and share your story at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned to Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. After 1, from offshore drilling to alternative energy, even lowering the speed limit, how is Congress planning to solve our energy problems? Plus, a new study says statin drugs could significantly lower the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. That's 1 o'clock's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Veronica Rickert, back with you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we talk about adultitis, that feeling that life's not as fun as it should be. Maybe that you're not so much fun to be around, that your life isn't giving you joy anymore. Well, we're talking about how to get out of that rut today with Kim and Jason Kotecki, authors of Escape Adulthood. And Kim and Jason, we've got some callers here already waiting to talk to you. So let's go ahead and take Daniel, who is calling from Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Daniel.
Veronica, and thank you for having this show. Let's see. I'm perhaps doing something that's socially inappropriate for my age. I'm 33 years old, and I returned to doing skateboarding after a 15-year hiatus. And I quickly found out that I get pretty sore, but in a few months, I actually found out that I've recovered pretty much all the same tricks that I did when I was 15 and then some. Huh. And I find it both cognitively and physically stimulating, so I did sort of recover that happiness that I once had in my life. And
Very cool.
That is so cool,
that's
Daniel.
Great. Thank you.
You are quite the role model there.
Well, I did it as a result of the gas prices nowadays, too. It's also, you're going to probably be seeing a lot of old school skaters coming out and finding a new way to get from A to B.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very cool.
You know, that's a good example of how in every challenge there's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So good for you, Daniel. It's awesome.
So, Daniel, are you just skateboarding around town to your appointments, your doctor's appointments and whatnot?
Well, I'm actually an anthropologist out of Milwaukee studying in grad school, and I'm noticing that there is still the issue of contested public space, and I try to limit my skating to skate parks.
Oh, okay.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Daniel. We appreciate your call. And how about Andrea, who's with us from Green Bay? Hi, Andrea. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to say I'm loving your show because sometimes, actually recently, I think take myself way too seriously. I'm 43 years old, but there's something about whenever I'm grocery shopping or just anywhere where I'm shopping with a cart, I always give myself a good old push and ride it right all the way to the car.
Yay!
It's a blast. I get some strange looks, but...
That sounds fun. Awesome. I think I'm going to have to try that next time I go to the grocery store.
And I have to say, Andrea, one of my dreaded tasks is grocery shopping. So any way that you can make it more fun is awesome. So good for you for being a model for others.
And I think the looks that you get from other people are probably looks of jealousy that they wish they had the courage to do that.
You know, one thing I've noticed, this is sort of in line of what Daniel and Andrea were talking about there, people don't sing very much in public. Does singing show up anywhere in your list? Is that something people should be doing more of?
We actually, we have a quarterly magazine. We just did the whole magazine on music, and we talked about how to throw a karaoke party. And that's something we did. Our niece turned 9, and she had a karaoke birthday, and all of us, okay, we had
the aunts and the uncles and the grandmas and grandpas.
And we had both sides of the family there, so you have that whole, you know, not too familiar with each other kind of thing going on. By the end of the night, all of us were singing and putting our arms around each other, and there was no alcohol involved at all. And so it was kind of a neat, like, thing, because you're right, there's something about singing that kind of makes you a little bit vulnerable, but kids will sing, you know, opera at age 5 and they don't care. But it's something you kind of have to put yourself in the position to do. You're not just going to do it, probably.
Yeah.
Karaoke parties. I like that one. Okay, and to Lori calling from Franklin. Hello, Lori. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I've been accused of a lot of childlike behavior, and I love it. And one time I was at a church function, they had tables out, and I saw some little kids getting bored, and they went down on their hands and knees and crawled around, and I saw them, and I thought, and I went down on my hands and knees, and I got a good laugh out of a few people, and that was a good thing.
And a new perspective on things, right?
Yeah.
Good for you, Lori.
Well, I'm 73 years old, I mean, it certainly is a new perspective.
There you go.
And then my friend, I pretended to be Marilyn one time, Marilyn Monroe.
Oh.
I called the Ben Maron Show, and here everybody was supposed to go on tape. They were taping the show and sending it to the president. And it turned out, well, they were griping a lot, and I thought, oh, this is so heavy. I called the show, and I had by that time learned that it was the president's birthday. Okay. So I sang, oh, happy birthday to Mr. President. You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the senior prom, I dolled all up. We have a prom for seniors, and I got all Hollywooded up for that.
Aww.
And vamped around like mad. Thought that was a lot of fun. And then on the other side of things, well, maybe not on the other side of things, I find a lot of happiness comes from doing something for other people,
mm-hmm.
doing some constructive volunteer work, and mm-hmm. and bringing that sense of humor and that sense of play to that, too.
Yeah, that's one of the things that happiness studies have shown right now. I'm sure this kind of ties into all of what you're doing, but doing things for other people.
Yeah, and that's actually some of the challenges in our escape plan. We've talked about some of the silly ones, but there's one called Instant Karma, which is the idea is to right an old wrong. So whatever that might be, something in your life. There's one about, be a hero? Something about being a hero, like make the day of a child. So do something for some child. That's just kind of a random thing. So yeah, I mean, if you really want to be serious about this, not always thinking about yourself is the key, and
right.
being able to give to other people is probably one of the most effective ways to like get some balance and perspective.
That's something I saw when I was teaching kindergarten that just, you know, it didn't surprise me, but the level of intensity of it did surprise me. Is the kids, you know, would come in from recess and they'd bring dandelions, and my desk would be covered with dandelions. And one day I made the mention that I love the smell of pine, and there were these pine needles out at the edge of the recess, and my desk was covered with pine needles for about a month after every recess. We had three a day, you know, but just that, you know, what does she like and what can I do to make her happy? Or, you know, drawing pictures for one another, or making cards for one another. Their thoughtfulness was just natural. Whereas when we get, busy and older and just, you know, get out of that mindset, oftentimes, when's the last time you made a homemade card for someone with crayons, you know, and just wrote something heartfelt in it instead of going to Hallmark and grabbing something real quick and signing your name, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of lessons to be learned from the kids on that one.
Well, I like that idea. You said instant karma. What did you do to right a past wrong?
Jason's was good.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger, I had two younger brothers, and one of the famous incidences of our childhood was I threw a Fisher Price bus at my brother's head, and it was one of those heavy plastic and wood, and he's got a scar on his forehead to this day from that. And I realized that I never. And I could be kind of a jerky older brother. You know, I guess I filled the role pretty well. But I never really apologized for any of that stuff. So I literally called him up and apologized for that incident. And there were some other incidents where we played basketball that I was not as nice as I could have been. And he, you know, we have a really good relationship, and he laughed about it. But it was just really neat to be able to get that off my chest. And to, I think in some ways it solidified our relationship even more. So
Oh. It
was not like I robbed a bank and I returned the money or anything like that.
Right.
But something like that, it was just kind of neat to think about. And like I said, it kind of brought us even closer together, even though it was a little bit silly at the time.
That's a great story. Well, let's take another phone call now. How about Joseph calling from La Crosse. Hi, Joseph. Thanks for calling.
Hi, you're welcome. Good morning. Mm-hmm. And I have to say I really appreciate what your guests have to offer this morning. I come at this from a slightly different approach. I'm a Buddhist. And one of the things we say is just do the math. There's one of you and lots of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it really behooves us to focus on helping other people when we can. And I was thrilled that you guys were just talking about this. And I just wanted to share with you a couple of quick stories, if I may, about things that could have gone one way but went a different way. I had a friend that used to throw a New Year's Eve party every year, and I'd been going to it for about probably 5 or 6 years. And one year the power went out, and it was a family-oriented event, so there were always kids there. And the year the power went out, we're all sitting there. Now there's no music, and there's no videos, and there's no anything. So we thought, well, why don't we have everybody has a talent. Let's find out what everybody's is. And there were probably about 40 people at this party, ranging from probably 75 down to about 7. And the kids started it, but then they would drag the parents into it and make the adults do things. And it was astonishing, the talents that people had. I mean, it was just absolutely unbelievable. people were singing, doing hula dances, doing little skits from plays. I mean, people that you'd never seen in this light before were suddenly, you know, reciting scenes from Shakespeare.
Wow.
That is so
cool. And it was because the power went off. And the other was a time when the kids were all standing around and they decided that they wanted to do there was like five kids with, you know, parents with their children and a group of maybe five or six sets of parents. And they decided they wanted to do a little show in the garage for the parents. And they did it. And then they decided that the parents had to sing along. But these spontaneous things develop when we are, exactly as your guest suggests, open to them, when we give ourselves permission. Because where do you see, I mean, and for the most part, no one had had enough alcohol to spontaneously propose this, and still we all like doing kick steps and having a great old time and singing and dancing with the kids just because somebody thought that would be cool and the adults in the room were totally open to it.
Wow. And that openness is key, I think, because you could totally see people crossing their arms and being like, oh, I don't know about this, you know?
Which is a sign of adultitis.
Right.
Of course.
Yes. That's awesome, Joseph.
Well, how can we be more open? Are there any steps? Is just enough to be aware that you should be open? You just have to force yourself
to
keep a journal?
A lot of it is, you know, who you hang out with. I mean, if you're hanging out with people who are like some of these callers we've had, I mean, it's just going to be natural to act like that. But I think it's just a matter of perspective and realize that, you know, no one's perfect. And if you're the brave one to be a little silly, I think most likely you'll see other people follow. And for the ones that don't, just chalk it up that they have full-blown adultitis and don't let them bother you because they're obviously not happy. So let it go.
There's a funny story. I can't remember where I read it. One of the materials about you guys, and you were going into a store to see if they wanted to carry your merchandise. And the woman at the store said, I don't believe in that.
Yeah. We were selling some of our greeting cards to her. And she's like, what is this about? And it was actually our chief sales servant, Jenna, I think, who was making the sale or trying to make the sale. And she said, well, what is this about? And Jenna was like, well, it's, you know, about being more childlike and having more fun and stressing less. And she's like, well, I don't believe in that sort of thing. And so it's just like, okay.
It brings up a good point, though, Veronica, is that some people do mistake childishness for childlikeness.
Yeah.
And that's something
right.
we always talk about.
Right.
It's like, it's not about being childish. It's about being childlike. And there's a fine line sometimes,
right.
you know? And like you said, we don't want you to not pay your bills or anything like that. But there is a you know, don't whine. And, you know, there's certainly childish traits of adults and children that all of us think of sometimes.
Well, even another thing, like in anyone's job, the idea of being curious. I think that's something that kids are naturally curious. They're always asking why. And as we get older, I think everyone's been in a situation where you're at a job and maybe you're the new person and you ask, so why do we do things this way? And then the response is because we've always done them this way. And that's a sign that the curiosity, right. people have stopped asking questions. And so no matter what line of work you are or if you're a stay-at-home mom or whatever, being able to like ask yourself why questions is a really big childlike thing that can also lead to bottom line profits and more efficient running of things. And so that's another example. And we talked too about, you know, if there's any doctors or lawyers or accountants out there who have to have a certain level of professionalism, that we say you should take your job seriously, but that doesn't mean you have to take yourself seriously.
Mm.
And even if you're a lawyer or an accountant, people can tell if you're not taking yourself seriously. And people like to work with people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know you're professional and you know your stuff, then all the better. But being able to not take yourself too seriously is a huge key, no matter what line of work you're in.
Hmm. Good tips there. And something you said just reminded me of something else you did that I loved, which was ordering dessert first and eating it.
Yes. Kim can tell that story.
Yeah, that was the challenge. You're not the boss of me. Do something that your parents would never let you do as a kid. And I joke that, you know, I thought my parents were so strict when I was little and they never let me do anything. I couldn't wait to be an adult, you know? And then when I'm looking back, I'm like, well, what did I want to do that they didn't let me do? You know, what, play in the street and, you know.
Put your hand on the stove.
Yeah, like these are all just to keep me safe and alive, which they did very well. But then I thought about that dessert thing. We ended up at the Olive Garden on the west side of Madison and the waitress came over and I said, you know, I would like to order dessert first. And she could not get over this.
Because I had ordered like manicotti. So yeah. I got my entree and then Kim's like, well, I'll have the chocolate lasagna.
Yeah. And so, you know, the thing is, you know, we were kind of over it and I was enjoying the chocolate lasagna, which is very good, by the way. and she just kept coming over and bringing it up. Like, I can't believe you ordered dessert first. Like, I can't. No one ever does this. And why don't they? She's like, I'm going to do it next time. Next time I go out to eat, I'm going to order dessert first. And, you know, it's not something you want to do every week or, you know, everything in moderation. But at the same time, once a month, when you go out to that place that has that great dessert list that you're never going to get to because the entrees are three times the size, you know,
yeah.
Why not?
That's interesting. I actually went out to dinner at the Olive Garden with a friend who works here and she ordered dessert first. And at the time, I realized now I had adultitis.
Uh-oh.
I remember thinking, what are you doing? That's totally inappropriate. And I thought it was a little weird. But now I think, now looking back at it and seeing how you guys frame it, I think, oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to have to loosen up and try that next time.
Well, we talk a lot about one of the things people do unconsciously or consciously is we live by rules that don't exist. And so not to pick on you, but the idea of that's not appropriate. It's like, who says, like, what, where is that written that you can't have dessert first once in a while? But it's like, everyone does it. Like, we all have these things like, well, I should do this and I should do that. But we never stop to ask why or who said that or whatever. And like kids, there is no kid alive that doesn't want to eat dessert first, you know? And that, again, it's a moderation thing. But when we get older and we have the power to do it, it's not appropriate or, you know, whatever.
We had a speaking engagement like 2 days before Thanksgiving, and it was a group of daycare providers. Mm-hmm. And the woman came up to us after and she said, I'm hosting Thanksgiving this year. I have 45 people coming to my home. She goes, we are eating our pumpkin pie first.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm prepared for the Civil War.
She's like, this is not going to go well for some of those adultitis ridden people. But we were like, good for you. You know, it was kind
of fun. Great. Maybe a small step to ridding yourself of adultitis.
Exactly.
We're going to take another break now with Kim and Jason Kotecki. They're the authors of Escape Adulthood and The Escape Plan, a 40-day plan to annihilate the adultitis in your life. And their website is kimandjason.com. We'll also be taking more of your phone calls, too. Tell us what you've done to get rid of adultitis, how it works for you. Maybe you want a tip for a particular problem that you have. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned to Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's Here on Earth, Radio Without Borders. How do you cook at the South Pole, where ingredients take a week to thaw and pasta turns to instant mush? After 3 on Here on Earth, Radio Without Borders, Jean Faraca's guest talks about her culinary adventures at the South Pole. We're talking about adultitis today and how to escape from the shackles of it with Kim and Jason Kotecki. They're the authors of Escape Adulthood and The Escape Plan, a 40-day plan to annihilate the adultitis in your life. And we'll go back to the phones right now. We've got a call here from Bill calling from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
I'm enjoying the program.
Great.
I have a friend who said to me one day, did you wake up happy? And I laughed, and I said, I don't think about it. Well, now I wake up happy. And every time we see each other, we say, did you wake up happy? And it sets the tone for the day. And the other thing I do is I read a number of newspapers and magazines over the web. If I see an article that I find interesting to a friend of mine any place in the United States, I send it to him. And then we're on the phone. Sometimes they come back and say, thanks, appreciate it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have seen it. It's just a little gesture. You have to go out and do something for somebody to really be happy. You don't necessarily have to have them thank you every time you do something. So,
well, thank you, Bill.
Great advice.
You're welcome.
And Bill's looking for the little ways and seizing on the opportunity to start each day on the right foot.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. You look back to, heck, Norman Vincent Peale writing about the power of positive thinking, and I think it's a bestseller, but people still don't realize how much power they have over how they choose to react to things. You know, we hear the news and the economy is not as good and the election is, you know, back and forth and getting heated up. And it's like you assume, well, I guess I have to be in a bad mood. You know, the gas prices are terrible. But it's like, no, you actually have the choice to say, am I going to be upset about this or am I going to look on the bright side? And starting off the day saying, I'm happy, I'm going to be happy, is a great, great tip.
Do you want to add to that at all, Kim?
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, Jason and I are always talking about how do you keep that positive attitude without having to find out that you have this death sentence or this terminal illness, you know? And it's like, I think it's...
Because people that oftentimes, you know, say you have 6 months to live,
right.
All of a sudden the perspective is right there.
Right.
Right.
And it's like, can you maintain that without the illness, you know? And I think Bill's example is exactly what we're talking about. It's like waking up and putting your feet on the floor and saying, I'm happy. This is a great day. This is going to be an amazing day. And that positive mental attitude is what it's all about. And it's got to happen on a consistently, you know, daily, minute-by-minute basis,
yeah.
You know.
There's a woman that introduced herself to you, Jason, after one of your talks. And I think she was an older woman, and she said that she had been diagnosed with cancer, I think. And I can't remember if she was given a particular amount of time to live, but she said she went to see the opera in Italy.
Yeah.
And did all these other things, just fulfilled her life dreams, and the cancer went away. I guess it was remission or she was cured, but it seems like joy can sometimes cure us, body and soul.
Yeah, that was a really cool story. She waited till the very end. We were signing books afterwards, and she came up and she told us a story about this diagnosis she had gotten, and it was just getting worse and worse. And she said, you know what, I'm just gonna do all the things I've always wanted to do, you know, and going to the opera. And
she wanted to go to Hawaii, but her husband said, we're not the type of people that go to Hawaii. Yeah.
People like
yeah,
us don't go to Hawaii.
Right.
And again,
yes,
a rule that doesn't exist.
Who says so? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so she said, well, we're going to go. And a year after he said that, they ended up in Hawaii. And yeah, she said that then the cancer went into a remission. And, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything like that, but she was still alive when she was talking to me. So,
and she looked energetic and healthy.
Yeah, she just
and,
had this amazing life in her eyes. It was really inspiring, which is one of the things I really love about what we do, is because we give people permission. And then at the end of programs, just like some of these callers, people come out of the woodwork to share all these cool stories and even more ideas. And it's just really neat to be in a position to be able to hear some of these things people have done on their own and just kind of collect all this wisdom.
Well, we've got an email here I'd like you to respond to, too. This is from Paul, who says that he suffered from some injuries just out of college and has some lingering effects from those. What advice do you have for people who are suffering from poor health? He's learned that health is so important to happiness, more than any physical kind of possession. And he goes on to say that over the past few years, he found some ways to improve his health, but now he's lost his job. And at 42... he says, I'd like to take my life in a different direction, and I find it hard to consider more of the same. What's a good way of thinking of age when considering somewhat a sort of starting over? He doesn't feel he has as much of that youthful energy. Is that the first step that provides some energy that allows for the next step, that kind of thing?
Mm. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff there. A couple things that come to mind, I would say, is I think it's great that he is... He's at an opportunity where he's lost his job and he wants to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
That's right there is huge, because he's looking at it as an opportunity rather than, oh, woe is me, I've lost my job, now what, life is over. And so I think that's a huge point. And so I think the thing now is to spend some time and allow yourself to think about what you'd like to do. You know, if there were no hindrances on the table, what would you like to do, and what are you passionate about? And I think as you start to uncover those sorts of things, that will kind of bring the energy back. Like once you figure it out, and it might take a long time, it might take a while, and it can be very frustrating. I think that was one of the hardest things for us, is to coming out of college and really put our finger on what did we want to do with our lives. But it's worth the time you put into it, because once you think of, well, I could do this, or maybe I could do this. And I would also say, talk to people who know you, encouraging people. We call them dream makers.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be able to say the things they see in you, some of the talents that you have, because sometimes we don't see it in ourselves. So ask them for advice of, what do you think I'd be good at? What do you think I could try? And as you start that process, pieces will start to come together, and you'll be able to see a path. And again, it might be overwhelming, but if you take it one step at a time, I think you'll notice that the energy will start to drive you from there.
Hmm. Any other thoughts, Kim?
Well, it's interesting. My dad lives with chronic pain, and growing up in our household, you know, I took it for granted when I was little because I didn't understand how much pain he really is in. But now, as an adult, looking back and looking at the physical career he had, he was an electrician with rheumatoid arthritis and contracted that in his 20s. And so it's like, you know, I didn't have the perspective as a child to understand, you know, why he put his feet up every night and read the paper and, you know, took that time. But it's, I think, part of the chronic pain thing and that, you know, health problems is I think it really comes down to attitude again. And it's hard to say that because as someone who hasn't lived with chronic pain, you know, it's easier said than done. I'm most positive about, but it is about, you know, looking at the positive things in your life, your relationships, your things that you have going well, the passions that you have and what the possibilities are instead of always looking at what I can't do. And my dad has been a great example for us of that.
Yeah.
And just saying, you know,
I've never once heard him complain about anything with his illness.
And, you know,
and you know it's hurting him, but he doesn't, you know, he just focuses on the positive.
And you would almost assume that he's not in pain because of that. So it really does change your perspective on things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that helps you, Paul. And to Tim in Eau Claire. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I love the show.
Great.
This isn't relating to any serious life situation or anything, but it's at work, we have a Monday morning meeting. And sometimes they get a little bit stressful, tense. So I ended up bringing in a dart gun that shoots these foam darts. So anytime you know, someone is kind of getting a little bit stressed out or kind of feels like they need to release some emotions towards someone, you grab the dart gun and fire a dart at them, and you kind of... It lightens up the meeting, and you feel a little bit better. But unfortunately, I haven't done it for a while because I've lost all the darts because we've been shooting them at people pretty frequently.
Time for a refill pack.
Oh, that's great, Tim.
Thanks for the show.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Have you heard that one before? Dart guns at meetings.
No, that's a good
that's
one.
Awesome.
But yeah, we have weekly meetings, and we try to keep it light and have fun with it as well. And I think that's... Again, it's important, and it doesn't really take a lot of money or a lot of effort, but just having fun brings the team together, gets them laughing, has the positive energy going, and then it's more likely you're going to find solutions to problems when people are thinking positively and having fun. And I really, to the life of me, I don't know why more people don't incorporate stuff like that, because it's not fluff. It really does help with productivity.
Something that Tim said too is that this happens on Monday morning, so I'm assuming that a lot of the people at that meeting might have what Jason and I have labeled Sunday night dread. And if you have Sunday night dread, we don't even have to explain what it is. You know what it is if you have it. Then that is a sign that you need to look at your life and what you're doing and see if there's some changes to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good advice there too. Okay, Julie in McFarland, thank you for calling.
Thank you. And hello, Kim and Jason.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. I have the privilege of knowing Kim and Jason just a little bit. And I want to just say how wonderful they are. And for the people out there who have the opportunity to be the decision makers who bring people in to talk to their company, bring Kim and Jason. They do wonderful things. Aww. So there you go.
That is
the other thing I wanted to say is my cure for adultitis is my children, and most particularly my daughter, who is amazingly creative. And right at the beginning of the show, you talked about things in the kitchen that spice things up, make things fun.
Yeah.
And her favorite thing to do is to dye food strange colors, especially things that she bakes. So we've had things like Boston cream pie that looks like a bad bruise.
Oh. What a good mom you are, Julie, to eat that.
And sometimes you have to take a really deep breath. We often use green. Green is an interesting color for cookies and cakes, but it makes things fun. And what I really encourage people with children to do is when you find yourself in the situation that you are aggravated with your kids because they're having too much fun, picture a squirt gun fight and you're becoming the hose Nazi.
go get a bucket. Get the biggest bucket you can find and join in the fun. It changes your perspective to a degree that you can't imagine.
Oh, well, thank you for that call, Julie. I agree. There's not enough food coloring in our lives, is
not
there?
Not at all.
Food coloring is pretty great.
Nothing wrong with blue cottage cheese.
Well, I've got one more email I want to share. We're running out of time here. We've got about a minute to go. But we've got this email from Rita, who says she loves the topic. I'm 44 years old and have two kids, 11 and 13, and have loved being childlike my whole life. Kim and Jason are going to be great parents, so that's nice to hear.
You.
Having kids was the funnest thing ever. Her question, do you have any job openings at your company?
We do not, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, we actually get a lot of people that are looking for to work
job.
With us. So it's quite the compliment.
And you know, as we grow, we might. So keep checking the website.
Never know.
Well, this has been so much fun, you guys. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
We really appreciate
we
your time. And I can't wait to try some of these challenges. And I can't wait to order dessert first.
Yes,
I think I'm pretty sure about that.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Kim and Jason Kotecki, authors of Escape Adulthood and The Escape Plan, a 40-day plan to annihilate the adultitis in your life. Their website is kimandjason.com. Thank you to Carmen Jackson for producing this program and for her on-air production. If you'd like a copy of this program, it's 81E. You can get a copy at the radio store at 800-747-7444. I'm Veronica Rickert here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.